Hello and welcome. We are live at CITR. This is 24 Hours of Student Power, brought to you from unceded Musqueam territory. I'm here with the band Cheap Flavor. I'm Christine Powell, the volunteer coordinator here at CITR. Cheap Flavor just played a live in studio and they sounded rad. Hey guys.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey.
Hey.
Yo, yo.
Do you want to go ahead and introduce yourself and mention what instrument you play?
I'm Jonathan Guger. I play bass and dabble a little bit in guitar.
I'm Dan, and I play the drums.
I'm Jed. I'm on the guitar, and I sing, and yeah.
Great. It was so rad. You guys really drew a crowd.
Oh, thanks.
A real crowd.
Yeah, it was a pleasure to be playing too. Like, it was awesome having you guys let us play a few jams.
Yeah, it's either that or studying.
Exactly. So this was far better in every way. So that was awesome.
Absolutely. Sweet. So how did you guys get started together? How did you meet? Start making music.
Well, Jed and I met at a house party about a year and a half ago,
mm-hmm.
and we just started jamming in the garage there, and I guess the rest is history.
Exactly. It was a wild night of passion and playing. And then I said, we're perfect to be in a band together. And he said, I agree. Mm-hmm. And we were jamming a bunch. I like how we're already, like, after the pretty much first gig, we're already making, like, Cheap Flavor lore and myth. It's like, how are we going to meet? Well, let's make it more legendary each time. But anyways, yeah, no, what happened was me and John ended up meeting. We jammed a couple times. Then from there, we originally were hanging out with a guy named Steve Lee, who was on lead guitar, and then we had Nahir, who was on drums. Nahir ended up moving to McGill. Steve's now really working hard for his fourth year program. So we then were like, we need to form a band again, but who could match the unbridled talent of the previous members? And then
Daniel fell into our lives.
Also in another house party.
Yeah, it was another house party. I'm making a great name for myself. Yeah, but no, and it was cool when, like, we met with Dan, because there's Atsy actually was going to play at that house party. You're definitely playing some of them earlier. Great band. Good friends of ours.
Check them out.
Yeah, check out Atsy. That's your duty. Anyways, and then right before, they were going to, like, play in, like, what, 20 minutes or so? So we had time to just jam just with me on a guitar and mic, and then him with the setup drums.
Yeah, and the drums just played themselves.
Yeah, it was fun. Like, it was, we just really clicked really well, and then we got, John was there too, we talked it over a bit, and then we started jamming together and playing some gigs.
Rad. Pretty much. So you guys played at the Generosity event a few weeks ago? How'd that go?
That was fun. Back to the nepotism, I feel bad, because I'm actually in Generosity, and this sounds terrible, but basically, one of the events that I coordinated this year was that me and my good friend Ori, also in Generosity, check out Generosity, by the way, we're an event planning nonprofit. One of the events that we were doing was a comedy night, and we ended up getting 12 stand-up comedians all around Vancouver, and then having it at the Kerner House on campus, and afterwards we were the musical guests, and it was a lot of fun. Like, you guys want to talk on it a bit?
Yeah, we got a few songs in our set, and it was good event, good crowd. I don't know, we're just happy to play
big
each other.
Big crowd? Yeah. Oh, I couldn't get a ticket to this.
Oh, no.
small crowd.
Good Lord, no.
Crowd is bigger tonight.
Yeah, it's bigger. It was the first time I kind of played a gig with these boys.
Yeah.
Oh, enjoyed it thoroughly.
Yeah,
enjoyed
it was great. Good times. But yeah, no, the Generosity event, what happened was it was the comedy event. So by the time, like, the last comedian went, everybody was like, all right, comedy's over, bye. And so everybody was leaving out. We're like, no way, we're playing. And then they were like, everybody was kind of on the way out. And it was fine because, like, you know, there ended up being, like, about 15 to 20 close friends of ours that stayed around that we talked about, and they just enjoyed some of the music, and that was just, it was an equally good experience, and we're just happy to play for any amount of people.
Oh, that's super fun. Great. So would you like to play a song that maybe influences your band?
Sure. Yeah.
Absolutely.
This actually, heard the song recently, and it really sounded like the kind of vibe I wanted to go for. Like, I don't know, originally, like, I end up just kind of writing songs that are, like, almost punkabilly-ish, but I try to add some more, like, flair to it. Like, we're playing, you know, we jammed a minor swing beforehand, trying to get jazzier stuff. But one song that I heard of recently, shouts out to Hannah Karen, showed me this band, Gun Club, with their song Preaching the Blues. That was really good.
Great. So this is Gun Club, Preaching the Blues.
We'll be right back. was up this morning, blues were like a man. I was up this morning, blues were like a man. Worry blues, give me your right hand. Every step of a child tore me all upside down. Every step of a child tore me all upside down. Trapped on old Jeffrey Lino, can't seem to turn him around. So I preach blues. Load out, shake and chill. You ain't never had them, I don't believe you will. Blues is an agony of heart disease. Blues is an agony of heart disease. It's like consumption, baby, killing me by degrees. So preach blues.
CITR's annual band competition is in its 30th year of promoting new, local bands and providing great prizes. Shindig happens every Tuesday at Pat's Pub and Brewhouse at 403 East Hastings Street. So come check out the talent while they compete to win studio time, features in Discorder magazine, buttons, merch, and more. Enjoy locally made beer, pool, and CITR DJs spinning after the bands.
It was
Shindig Night 8 is happening this Tuesday, December 8th. Featuring Francesca Belcourt, Branza, and Atsy. Cover is $6 at the door and the show is 19+. Check out CITR on Facebook or on Twitter at CITR Shindig for all the details.
Hold my breath and fly away to what a
love. Embology 101 is a student-run organization here to educate the public about the benefits of hemp and cannabis. Fast fact! Hemp is a renewable, sustainable source of food and fiber. Fast fact. Your body contains anandamide, which is part of the same family of substances as THC. To learn more, look us up on Facebook at www.facebook.com/groups/hempology101UBC. Or come to one of our great events. And don't forget, legalization through education.
And we're back with Cheap Flavor here at CITR. Hey, guys.
Well, hey.
So, I was was wondering if you guys could have anyone, any musician, live or dead, to join your band right now.
Barbra Streisand.
Barbra Streisand?
Oh, definitely Barbra Streisand. Like, no, always dressed as Yentl.
What instrument would you have her play?
Oh, no. Well, of course the sitar. Like, I don't why do you guys let me talk? I don't understand.
Speak for yourself, Jay.
Yeah, yo, we're going in different directions. A clean split, guys. Yeah. But yeah, what do you guys think?
Let's see. I would just, you know, this is almost every drummer's dream. John Bonham. Mm. I would get him to play the drums, and I'd just sit back and watch. I just watch that guy just hit the skins.
You
like
would
no
get
other.
Someone to come in and do your job in the band?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, if it's, you know, I'd do anything for John Bonham.
Yeah, pretty much.
If it means quitting, then I'll quit and just sit back and watch, you know, comfortably under my bed covers.
Well, yeah,
your bed is in the room.
He's a great player of the sleigh bells as well, so that'd be a very important addition.
Ooh, sleigh bells.
Yeah, you got sleigh bells and John Bonham. What about you, man?
That's a toughie. We were just talking about a jazz musician over the break by the name of Django Reinhardt, and I'd say I'd want him in my band. I really love gypsy jazz, that whole genre, and just getting the chance to jam with him would be, I could die happily.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we'll play that song in a little bit.
Ooh. Ooh. I think for me, probably, like, just the idea of having, like, a duet vocals would be amazing. One of my favorite vocalists all time is, like, definitely give her more credit, Mary Clayton. She was the backup vocalist for Gimme Shelter on the Rolling Stones song, and they had her, I keep forgetting the name of the documentary, but she basically was one of the absolutely phenomenal, like, you know, backup singers that didn't really get nearly as much credit as she should. And like, Mick Jagger calls her up at like 3 a.m. and says, hey, can you come over and do some backups? And she's pregnant. She comes in with her curler still in her head and her robe. It's like, all right, let's just get this out of the way. And they do it once. She's like, all right, that was cool. Can you do a little more intense? She's really pissed. And she's a choir singer, so her voice can belt. So she's like, all right, you want to go intense? I'll go intense. So now if you listen to Gimme Shelter, you hear all the like so soulful cracks in the voice. You're like, oh, goosebumps every time. Yeah.
Oh, what a great anecdote. Thank you, Jen. I'll think about the movie Dreamgirls in a different way now. It's a great movie.
It's a great film.
Yeah, so maybe we'll play the minor swing song.
I'm down.
Yeah. Let's give it a listen.
Thank you.
You're listening to CITR. Again, we have Cheap Flavor here in the studio giving us an interview. Welcome again. That really reminded me, that song by Minor Swing reminded me of the scene from a Pixar short where the two old guys are playing chess.
My favorite one.
That's your favorite Pixar short. Yeah, it's great. I will spoil it. It's the same person. He's playing himself on chess.
And he wins his own dentures. He wages his dentures. That was great.
Go watch it. I think it's the one for Bug's Life. Mm. Anyways, great, guys. So now that I've got you here, if you could play any other instrument, or if you do play another instrument, let me know what it is.
I'm currently working on this, but I would play them all.
You're working on learning every single instrument.
Every single instrument. I played clarinet for about 7 years. I picked up guitar when I was 12. I learned bass shortly after that. And then since then, I've been kind of collecting other instruments, mainly stringed instruments, ukulele, mandolin. I even found a sitar at a pawn shop and attempted to play that, but it was a little bit over my head. A little harmonica, but... Yeah, if I could, I'd play all of them.
Every single one? Yeah.
It's interesting, because I also want to play all of them. I started on drums when people ask me how long I've been playing drums for, I usually say 10 years, because that's when I lost count, but, then I picked up the guitar for a bit. And eventually, I went to bass guitar. And I started playing all these odd instruments. Like, I'm really fascinated by the ocarina. Because it's such a such a little interesting little thing. And, of course, back in elementary school, I played the recorder, soprano, and tenor. And,
sax. Which came first, the ocarina or Zelda?
Ooh, which came first?
That's been lost to legend, I believe.
Ah, yeah, that's true. Actually, for me, it was the ocarina, but that's
really?
What led me to Zelda. I love, everyone listening right now, go on YouTube and just look up, the music that Zelda has to offer. It's by a guy called Koji Kondo. Amazing. He's one of those composers, whatever he touches turns to gold.
Especially the 25th anniversary remaster.
Oh my goodness,
the full orchestra.
Yes. Yeah, that one was I'm wearing a Zelda shirt right now. This was actually from the Symphony Orchestra. I went last year. Phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal.
The Vancouver Symphony Orchestra?
Yeah. I believe it was so. Yeah. And they played a lot of Zelda tunes. They hooked up a big screen and just played game footage from Zelda and everything. So that, yeah, absolutely phenomenal experience. If they ever come back, definitely recommend it. And my latest instrument I got actually was it's called nose flute, and it's actually called a nose flute. What you do is you blow through your nose and your mouth shapes the tones and the notes that comes out of it.
It's like a coordinated sneeze.
Yeah, I guess. Actually, I should try that. I should try sneezing in that thing. Mm. You know.
Sanitary.
For me, I'd hopefully like to learn less instruments. I dislike music personally. It's a curse. It really is. Honestly, I envy John a lot too, because the sitar has always been something that's been incredibly just a beautiful sounding instrument to me. I'll forget, and remember in sixth grade, my science teacher had this one period of class before a final, so he just let us relax one day, and he put on my science teacher in sixth grade. I was 10 or 11. He puts on the bit of Ravi Shankar at the Monterey Pop Festival in 1966 or 1967, and everybody else was just looking what is this, and I was just in trance, And if I ever have the time to completely get down that in a completely different musical structure, I'd love to. But yeah.
Hey, if you're keen on restringing it, I'll totally let you borrow it.
Yo, that'll only take 3
hours.
Months or so. I'm down, man.
Oh, man.
But yeah.
Rad, thank you so much for sharing. Okay.
Are you guys thinking of recording anything or doing? I know you guys don't have anything right now set up, but what are your plans for the future for Cheap Flavor? I mean, this might be, maybe this is the first time you're thinking about it.
Yeah.
Maybe this is a brainstorming session for
wherever
the
wind takes us.
Yeah. We weren't ready for that kind of commitment, so we kind of put us in an awkward position here.
Yeah.
But,
this is the relationship talk of radio.
Yikes.
No, we're hoping to probably get like an EP or an album out at some point with the songs that Jed's been writing. And
spoilers.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert. Yeah, so far I have about eight originals and probably a cover. I'd like to record a 9-song album first. That would be like the dream by the end of the year. Even if it's just a demo, like no matter where, like I'm actually, it was funny, we're going to, if there's like, you know, the podcasting of the performance today, I'd like to actually like get that on like a drive or something. I'll probably snip that as just one of my first demos, or our first demos. We've got to look at how selfish I am. But yeah, like I recorded something thanks to Peter Morley back in Benicia, California, my hometown. He helped me out recording my own demo for just the song Freight that was played tonight. And he had me on the drums and on the bass, but I was not prepared. And it's very ramshackly, but I just got so juiced to have an actual tape of my own music that I definitely want to record something by the end of the year with these beautiful men.
Yeah, enough just listening to other bands. You need to be listening to yourself all the time on your iPod. Mm-hmm. That's what musicians do, I thought. Great. So, you guys, what other bands influence your music, would you say?
A lot,
I think. I think at this point, if you mind, I like jump in with it, just because like, right now, like the songs that we got so far, it's like I started writing kind of by myself. I was like the songwriter of all of them so far, except for the covers that we play, of course. But and in the future, I really like, because we just kind of got together recently, and it's more of like I really wanted a band to like, you know, first be an outlet for the stuff I wrote, and then as we played more together, it'd become a more and more democratic like way of songwriting. So in the meantime, we'll see where the genre is going to go. But a lot of my influences with it, I really like rockabilly and psychabilly a lot. And I also like a lot of more jazzier influence, because I feel like any blues rock offshoots usually can get overly simplistic for me. Unless like you're so tight into it. Like, you know, AC/DC, I'm still a huge AC/DC fan. And they're one of the most simple bands I know. But it's just the formula they have down is so good. And the guitar playing is so phenomenal that it works. But I feel like I'd want to try something that adds a little more like genre mixes to it. So I've been experimenting with like, you know, 9 chords and such like that to bring in like more jazzy stuff. Ooh, yeah. We should play that next, I think. Yeah, we were just suggested by our good friend. Oh, what's your name? What are we terrible things?
Dylan.
Good God, that's a great start. Our good friend Dylan just suggested a song that we're going to play next.
Making new friends in the studio.
Making new friends. That's really what this is about, guys.
Friendship.
Friendship indeed.
Friendship indeed. But yeah, so kind of like, you know, psychobilly and a little more jazzy stuff. My biggest musical influence has to be the old Pops back home. That's my father, Eno. He played fingerpick and blues since I was a young baby child. A lot of like that kind of stuff got me into the music that I'm playing, so yeah.
You were on his knee?
Yeah, just
playing the harmonica? Is it wee babe?
Ah, man, I wish I could nail the harmonica.
Sitting on the porch.
Yeah. On the porch, yeah.
Cold brews with his hat and
suitcase.
Did you guys? He has a suitcase as well.
I don't know.
Did you guys check out? There's a guy during Melt in the audience who brought a harmonica with him. It's like joining in.
That's sick.
Via harmonica, which was pretty cute.
That's awesome.
Was it in the right key?
I don't know. They were pretty pumped on it. They like kind of joked that it had thrown them off when he stopped playing. They were so so jamming so hard with this harmonica.
You can't just leave the collaboration in the middle of it, man.
I thought it was like a keyboard effect that was playing different tones of a harmonica, like different woofing noises. Oh, but I would still like to see that in a band someday.
Absolutely.
Hopefully a live band playing CITR. Great. So this is Motorhead by Ace of Spades.
way. Ain't no difference what you say. I don't see green. The only god I need is the ace of spades. The ace of spades. Playing for the high wall, dancing with the devil, going with the flow. It's all a game to me. Seven or 11, snake eyes watching you. But that's the way I like it, baby. I don't wanna live forever. And don't forget the Joker.
Just want to warn you that when I wrote this song, I was listening to The Cure a lot, so.
Okay.
Here we go.
You don't know how much I need you. While you're near me, I don't feel blue. And when we kiss, I know you need me too. I can't believe I found a love that's so pure and true.
So that was Fiddler, Somebody Kill Me, featuring Kate Nash. That song is from The Wedding Singer, and they did a great job. I always get that song stuck in my head, actually, but the original version, it's a great movie.
It's a good movie.
Great. So we were just talking about how you can look up Cheap Flavor, but first, can you guys go over how you got the name Cheap Flavor? I don't really get it, man.
Yeah, we will educate.
So last year was a nice, I believe Saturday or Sunday. And at the time, my roommate was the one and only Farhad Ghaderi. He's a beautiful man. Look up his photography page, Farhad Ghaderi Photography, Instagram, everything. He's on Vogue Italia. The guy's very talented. Anyways, he was my roommate. And one day after a night out, we get up. It's about 12 or 1 o'clock. And we're in the Village, University Marketplace, above the International Food Basement on UBC. And he's talking, and he says, like, oh, man, you know, I want to eat. And I'm like, what? He's like, man, I'm just really craving, like, you know, the well-priced, like, Chinese food downstairs at the Black Pearl. I'm just really craving that Cheap Flavor. And it echoed in my mind. And I saw angels go by his beautiful head and say, Jed, this is your chance. If you don't take this now, you'll fail forever. And I'm like, I'll take it. And I did. And that's the name. Will he be receiving royalties? No, there's no chance. No.
Shout out to Black Pearl.
Great food, good price.
And that's a joke. I actually, like, legitimately, I was thinking about this. It would be very funny if one of our album covers, if we do record an album just as a tribute to Farhad, would just be like an uncomfortable close up of his face as the album cover. It would be phenomenal. But yeah. So yeah, thank you, Farhad.
Seriously. So is there any way to reach you guys if they wanted you to play or wanted to check out your music?
Well, we just made a Facebook page, like, just a few seconds ago. You can find us, Cheap Flavor, on Facebook. That's Flavor, not with a U, just an O.
Jed's an American.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's American.
USA! USA! I'm also an American, so yeah, I understand.
Bay Area! Bay Area?
Oh, Bay Area.
Yeah, no.
Well, I'm a Washingtonian.
Oh, well, that's the same thing.
Yeah, where are you from?
I'm from Redmond, Washington.
Cool, I'm from Shoreline.
Shoreline?
Yeah. North of Seattle.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah. West Coast.
It's a good little town to grow. Good part of the world. Pacific Northwest.
Pacific Northwest. Don't even feel like I've left it. I haven't. At heart. Mm-hmm. Except for those pesky U's, which there isn't one in Cheap Flavor.
Gotta get used to that.
Great. I was wondering, would you guys ever consider doing the score for a video game, since we were on the topic of Zelda? Do you think Cheap Flavor, what kind of video game would Cheap Flavor underscore best?
Interesting.
A car racing game?
I could see us being featured in, like, a Grand Theft Auto soundtrack, because, you know, they just have...
It would come on when you stole the car. That's what the thief would, like, click on their radio.
Yeah.
Like, this is my time now. There was That's great.
There's actually a game called Brutal Legend. If you've heard of it, it's all based around the concept of metal. And I love metal. It's like a fantasy world, and Jack Black's in it.
Oh, that's awesome.
Metal, the music genre?
The genre. Absolutely. Not rock, metal.
And the music, was it industrial? It's black metal, death metal.
It's all sorts of metal. It's like, if you took all the metals in the world and mashed them together, you'd get a Brutal Legend. If we could have, like, some kind of blues game, you know?
Mm.
Something based around the blues. Because that has a long history. That has a story to tell.
Right?
How about Tony Hawk's Pro Skater?
Oh yeah,
what? Absolutely.
That's definitely the genre that your band can represent, as it's totally the backing tracks for most of the games.
Can I actually just speak on that real fast? That's funny that you say that, because legitimately the thing that got me into rock music absolutely was Tony Hawk Pro Skater 3.
No way, same.
Yeah, dude, awesome. Oh my god. That is sick. But yeah,
that was the sound of a high five. Yeah. Five on.
It was phenomenal. Just like, it got me into, like, because, what, like, Iron Maiden was on that Body Jar, this AC/DC. One pop punk band, AC/DC.
It's got a great soundtrack.
It's an amazing soundtrack. That and the Digimon movie soundtrack are why I'm in the music.
Dude. Oh, man. Butterfly, I think.
Dude. Yeah. There's so much ska music and such. All right, before we bond too much on air.
I just want to announce that this is the student special, 24 hours of student radio, and the next thing that we'll be playing on the radio is the student special hour. Thank you. We're at CITR. Oh, and thank you, Cheap Flavor. That was a great live set and such a charming interview. Your presence is overwhelming.
Thank you for having us.
There's a lot of charisma in the room.
Oh.
And heat.
And heat.
And
heat.
That's why.
Thanks,
and
guys.
This is Malk.
So don't be-